podcast by BusinessExpansionSpecialist.com. Your hosts are Abe Gershonowicz and Keith Legg. Our podcast is about business know-how for business expansion and performance.
When building a home, a skyscraper, or your business, the foundation is a key essential component. In this podcast, we discuss how policy is that foundation that allows for continued growth and expansion in your business. So what is policy? Policy is that written down, captured, successful action or actions that when followed continue your successes toward your basic purpose of your company. Policy are those principles that your team can understand and agree with and apply to their positions, and you have success and continued successes. Abe.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep it simple for myself. Successful actions that the group agrees with. That's how I take it. I like things simple.
Let's look at a few simple examples of policy. The customer is number one. Always smile when dealing with customers. Simple. Customer service should be fast, to the point, friendly, while ensuring the customer gets their service or product. Abe, give a few examples.
To give some examples, let me back up. When I was starting my dental business, I really never had a thought of policy. I was just in the business doing dentistry. I hired people and they were doing certain functions in the office to make it work, but it wasn't cohesive. It didn't have definition. So in the past, I would look at statistics and there were only ones that I was looking at. It was how much money was I making? Did I have enough money to get through the week, get through the month? As long as I had that, I thought we were running a successful business. So later on, I began to realize, here's a policy, putting stats in on each individual. So everybody knows what the other person's doing. So if you're a hygienist, you know how much you're contributing to the business. So that's their statistic. A treasury individual is how much money did you pull in? So these are stats. And then what we would do is we hang those statistics up in the lunchroom and everybody knew what everybody was doing. And it was just all part of policy. It was all part of, yeah, this is good for the business. We all know it's all up front. It's transparent. It's better than no policy for sure, which is what I was running on in the past. And that was just one example of policy that I thought was quite interesting. Go ahead, Keith.
So when you started implementing, putting policies in, putting up statistics, making your staff members responsible for what they were doing or more responsible, did you get any backlash?
Not really. The group that I had at that particular time when we started putting this in was all on board. It was a group that understood that they had to play this game together and we all had to know what the group was individually producing so we can combine it with the rest of the group. We all knew what everybody was doing and it was very, very helpful. If somebody wasn't cutting it, everybody knew the person wouldn't stay, would have to leave. They'd leave on their own. That was quite interesting because that bond of that group wanted to produce, because what I did was, here's another policy, is I put in statistics, but I also put in bonuses from those statistics. If people were doing better, here's a policy. We are going to get bonuses if we get above and beyond a certain point. So it made everybody want to move in the same direction. So someone not wanting to play that game is not going to feel real good in an organization that's operating that way. Keith?
Policies are there to help you have and capture those successful actions that will go into the future. And it's as simple as smiling when you answer the phone. That's a simple policy. The reason it's written down and the new person comes in has to go over that and practice it, answering the phone with a smile, because it works. It makes people on the other end happy. It makes your staff happy. When people walk into your office and the receptionist smiles, they're going to respond much better than if they're a grouch, if they're grumpy, if they're mean. A smile goes a long way. That's a policy. Very simple. And it has your office, your staff follow those successful things that have gotten you success in the past. Now, when you do have policies written up, you end up having what? They work into your job descriptions. They become the write-up of how to be a receptionist, how to go out in the field and deal with the public. Or if you're in your office, how to deal with your patients in your office. So those are the policies, and they're based on, they follow your basic purpose, and they create success by continuing to do them. And then you have a grouping of your policies, and they become your job descriptions. And then a new person comes in, and guess what happens? If you let them go and just do what they know, even if they've been in this business before, they've built homes, they've built skyscrapers, they've done this, they've done that, they've been a dental assistant. So if you let them do what they know how to do, they may do it completely different from what works in your practice, and it's going to be an upheaval. So by having a job description, and then when a new person comes in, even though they're experienced, they are required to sit down and understand and then be checked on the application of the principles that you have worked out that are successful, your policy. I'm going to bring Abe in. He's got some examples that he's dealing with currently because he's continually hiring because he's expanding.
Yeah, I have an interesting example. We've had dentists in the past that sort of go rogue on the business. You know, the business is being run a particular way, and then all of a sudden they want to change it to benefit them, but it doesn't really benefit the entire group. The whole idea of having a group, it's beneficial for the entire group, not for one particular individual. Part of this is this gentleman, let's call him a dentist, and he wants this, he wants that, he's demanding this, demanding that from the staff, but it's violating all our basic principles. And one of the basic principles is we want to produce as much as we can in one day. So if we want to do that, we have to spread the work around to everyone. Also, it has to match the customer service. You can't just have one guy doing a bunch of work, delaying patients throughout the day and unable to service them quickly when you have another dentist sitting there not doing anything. That doesn't make any sense. That violates customer service. And it's upsetting for the staff because they see the situation. They realize it's not flowing right. Where the individual who says, well, I want to do all this work, maybe is benefiting because they're going to pile up more stats that day, but it doesn't benefit the group. So it's not really a great situation. This is crazy, actually, but this is what happens when a dentist or an individual doesn't understand the policy of the group. Now, one thing for sure, he has to have this policy spoken to. We have to talk to him about what he's doing, explain the reasons why it doesn't really work our group, but it would be better if he had it in writing and he could read it over and maybe understand it a little bit better. There was nothing written on this, so he obviously didn't understand this is not proper policy for our particular group.
Was this a new dentist that came in to work with you?
He's been around for a while, and he's all of a sudden gotten better at what he was doing, and this has happened twice. They get really good, and now they realize they can do better financially if they saw more people, but it affects the entire group. It affects the customer service situation. So it's such a violation of policy. It's just the guy, they're just looking at things at their own self-interest. A business of 30, 40 people, we have to look out for everyone, not just for that one individual.
Plus the patients, right?
Most important, the patients. It violates the customer service part.
What you're talking about, is it written up in an administrative hat? He's a dentist, so yeah, he's been to dental school. He has that dental certificate and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. But is there an administrative hat in your office that goes along with being the dentist? Yeah, but this is how you work with a team. Did he read it? Is there one, and did he read it?
So this is interesting because I don't think this is really well defined, because in the past we never had issues. Just in recent time we've had some issues with individuals demanding more work coming their way, whereas in the past it was well understood how we operated. But now you have a different situation where you have people who don't understand the scene of the past. They have to have, we have to write it down for them in case we have the situation occur into the future. So this has to be written down. We have to go and create this policy. Matter of fact, as we're discussing it, that's the first thing that's going through my mind. We need to write it down and put it part of the associate job description and hat.
Good. So this particular case, this example, this doctor, did you pull him aside, or was he pulled aside and this was described to him, explained how it works in the practice?
He was told, but it's going to have to come from a higher source.
Oh, I see. The manager told
him. Yeah, I think the manager told him, and a few other people told him, we don't operate this way, but he didn't get it from the right source. He needs to get it from the people on the top. I think that in writing, so he understands, hey, we don't operate that way. It's not a good way to operate.
So you're going to have to talk to
him. Well, you're going to have to talk to him, but most of all, it has to be done in writing so everybody gets the concept.
Well, that brings a point up. There's this old business rule that's been around for I don't know how many years. If it's not written, it's not true. And that goes back to policy. Policy needs to be written. It needs to be written down. It needs to be written down so it can be followed. There's another point, even it has to be understood. That's understood by the group. It has to be understood and agreed to, because you may have some people come into your office, and I've seen this as a trainer. You give somebody some material to study, and they finish it real quick. And you look, and you ask them, did you understand it? They go, mm-hmm, yeah. And you go, great, okay. Let me see you apply it in this example. And they go, they can't apply it because they really didn't understand it. There are people that don't understand things well. In that case, even though it's written and even though you have a job description, if a person doesn't know how to study, if they can't study to understand, in a real simple example, I had a second-year university student in my class, and he was studying this subject. And anyway, I needed to check him on something, and I asked him a word. I said, well, Charles, what does that word mean? And he gave me some off definition. It wasn't correct. And I said, well, that's not correct. Look it up in your dictionary. Later on, second year university student. A few minutes later, I looked and he was fishing around in the dictionary. I went over and said, Charles, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm looking for that word. I said, really? And I looked where he was, and it was a word that started with S. He was somewhere else. And I said, do you know your alphabet? He said, oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, tell it to me. He could not. Second year university student didn't know his dang alphabet. So
that's a shock.
Yeah, really. That was a rare example, but mm-hmm. That happened. And I'm going, whoa. So even though you have job descriptions, even though you have your successful actions written up as policy and you give them to people, you assume, oh, they're going to read it and understand it. Not necessarily. You have people that are dull. They're not bright enough to even know how to understand or what things mean. They may smile, they may look good, they may dress good. You look at them and you go, wow, they fill the part of customer service. Mm-hmm. Look at them. But yet when it comes to applying the principles that you have found to create success for your company, if they can't read them and understand them and apply them, they're like a piece of dead wood sitting in that chair, even though they look good. But it doesn't help. It's going to slow the whole team down. It's going to take two other people off of their job to cover for that person. And I've seen that, and I know you have.
Oh, yeah. Interesting you're bringing that up. What I do is I like to go over our associates that we've hired. I like to sit them down and go over our hat. So I tell them basically what's going on and how we run the business, what I expect of them. And I'll give them examples and I'll sit there, we'll go over it together. I don't even want them to read it yet. I want to go over it with them. And after that, I tell them, go ahead and read it. But this way I get a chance to see what they know, what they don't know, as I give them examples and just to find out where they're at. Can they conceive of the ideas of this business? Because it's based on basic principles. And you'll be shocked how often people don't really get what you're really talking about. And then you have to give them many, many examples until they get it. This is very, very important. People need to understand. Just because it's in writing doesn't mean that they understand it. And because they don't, you'll find out after a while they're doing things that you just can't believe, they didn't understand what they read. They couldn't put the principles together. So it's a training, and that's part of being in business. You just got to retrain them over and over and over again. Drill them until they finally get something. And you don't give up on them, because there's not that many dentists out there. And they eventually start getting the concepts and become very, very effective. But it requires a lot of work on the part of the owner to actually handle these individuals. You just can't give up because they don't get it the first week, the second week, or in a month or two. But after 6 months to a year, that person should be pretty polished and pretty able. And if they're not, you got a problem. It's time for a change. But most of them are pretty able and very competent at that particular point.
I'm going to take a dentist coming out of school. He's had all this training, bunches of years on science, on teeth, and the structure, and the importance of good dental health. part of the hat of coming into an office and learning how to deal with people and talk to the patient and educate the patient. Not sell him so much, but that is selling, where you're enlightening the patient. Not every doctor knows how to do that coming out of school, but that's such a key policy as to what the steps you take when you have a patient in front of you so that you can very smoothly get them to do what they need to do. You get them to understand.
Yeah, going along that line, so prior to my management training, I would have associates working for me, and they weren't real successful, let's say, at enlightening patients. Some of them were a little bit better than others, but they really never got the concept. There's always something a patient, well, I don't want to see that doctor, so they come and see a different doctor, or they go to someone who they're happy with within the organization. So that was before. Now after, I made it a policy to always train people in communication, in sales. Very, very important, because they have to sit in front of the patient. Some people didn't know you have to sit in front of the patient. You can be on the side. You can be talking behind their head. But you have to be in front of the patient. You had to show them physical things so they understood. Don't use words. Use items, you know, like the models, x-rays, books, whatever it takes so the patient begins to understand it. And you have to look at the patient to make sure that they're not dull and you hit them with something that words that are dentalese that they don't understand. But make sure that the patient's aware, alive, understanding. And when you get that kind of a result, it improves the sales of the organization. It's tiny, tiny little thing that you would think everybody has. They don't have, but the policy is they get training in sales. Without that training in sales, we as a group lose out. But with the training, at least we know we tried to help that individual, and now the individual can be a lot more competent.
And you're talking about training, written down manuals,
correct,
job descriptions, and what's inside those?
Well, what's in there is how to do your job, basically. It's the policy of the group. That is the policy.
Those successful actions,
right,
that have created success, growth, and expansion.
There you go.
Are written down, and they're in the job manuals.
Absolutely. This is a good time to bring in the concept of basic purpose. Basic purpose for a dentist or an individual in my field, most of us got there because we want to help people. I've interviewed numerous dentists, and that's basically what they all say. I'm in this line of work to help people. But what about the staff? What about other people that you're dealing with? This is vital for patients to really be helped. Don't you think we need to train staff in communication and the art of being nice to people and smiling to people, make them feel comfortable? This is an art, but it's also important. Without it, people don't want to come to your office because they don't want to see people who are nasty to them. So this is very important. We not only have to help them to do a procedure, but we need to help them to feel calm in the room, to feel less fear, to get over their inhibitions, or to communicate to us what their problem is. All those kinds of things are vital. So that basic purpose comes in right then and there.
Your basic purpose, it's like your overall goal. And if you really keep that focused, and you can have more than one, but keep focus on those, the other things will come.
Exactly. That is exactly it. It's nice that you want to help people. It could be your ultimate purpose, but the only way you're going to do a good job is you got to put that policy in. That policy is so vital, because that policy will give you well-trained staff. For instance, it will give you a group that works together, teamwork. It does all kinds of things, because without it, and everybody knowing what that policy is, it doesn't ring. It doesn't rhyme. It doesn't work very, very well at all. And really the key is, if you have policy working for you, you can expand your business. It's the policy that actually creates the income. Hard to believe, because if you put more things in and people are working better, you're more efficient. You work less hard. You can do more in less time. And you aren't as worried about, well, what is Joe doing? What is Bill doing? I can't believe he's doing it. You're not getting distracted because people know what their jobs are. That's policy. And then you achieve that expansion from policy. But what came first was that purpose, that you wanted to help people. And then policy is derived from wanting to help. You make it work by putting policy in. And then all of a sudden you expand your business. Very simple concepts, but when well understood, very effective, and it allows a person to actually grow an organization and be happy about it and not worried about the more you put in, the more you get. Your business actually goes up by putting quality policy into an organization. So the way I found policy is anything that was a problem in the organization, I would come up with a solution and make that a policy. And that's how I grew that business.
Makes sense. With clients, what I've had them do, typically I will say, well, you know, write one policy a day. Have your people suggest a policy. It's up to the owner, the key executive, to really ensure what's going on in the company aligns with the basic purposes of that company. And then when you hire somebody new and you give them the initial training, they come in, they look at their job description, they read it. You can shortly thereafter see if they're going to work. Because if everyone else is following the policy well, the person will either get right with the team or leave. You just have a continued good cohesive team working on what? Successful actions, which is described here as your policy, your structure. When you get that owner who's successful and he's building a business, what does he want? He wants people to follow the same rules that he followed to become successful like this. And if he doesn't write them down, if he doesn't create policy, he will never expand. Policy is a foundation to build your business on.
Yeah, only one more thing I would like to add. I think we hit the nail on the head. So you had a bad experience in the business. Something went wrong. You figure out what the policy should be for that particular situation that came up. You write it down, and then you make sure that those people that are involved understand what the policy is. You get agreement from them, and everybody agrees. They sign off on the bottom line. And that's the policies. By doing that, you're getting agreement, and hopefully that situation doesn't arise again. If it does, we know somebody's not following policy, and we have every right to say to that person, if you don't want to be part of our group, you know where to go. You don't have to be here. And that's so much easier than trying to let someone go or have to confront somebody. Why do that? Just show them the damn policy. It says you signed it. Much easier.
Makes sense.
Yeah. We're good?
We're good.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you for listening today. Subscribe to our podcast for more business expansion know-how tips coming your way. If you really enjoyed this podcast, please share it with friends or colleagues who you think would enjoy it. Go to our website at www.businessexpansionspecialist.com.